Welcome to The Carolyn Merriman Show, your daily connection to compassion and your daily path to recovery from life struggles and traumas. Featuring licensed therapist, Carolyn Merriman.
Welcome. Come learn how to not waste your pain, but discover how God can use it to transform your life from the inside out. My co-host today is Lori Jo Smith. Hi, Lori Jo.
Hi, Carolyn.
We're going to be tackling the topic, how to understand and manage your anger. So whether you think you have anger or not, or if you hide it under the label resentment or frustration, this might apply to you or to a loved one. But first, we have an email from one of our listeners. And the way you get an email question answered, send it to me at the following address, radio@carolynmerriman.com. So what does our listener say here?
Well, this woman writes in, my husband just received this message from his dad, who divorced his mother several years ago. Quote, concerning future holidays, if you want to celebrate holidays with me, then I want to enjoy that on the actual holiday, just like any other family member. That might mean spending half the day at my house and spending the other half with other relatives. 60% of all marriages end in divorce, and the family figures out how to include everyone in the holidays. I spent every holiday alone, and it's just not fair when you all make concessions for everyone but me. If you choose not to spend holidays with me at all, then that's your choice. I'm your dad, and it's my opinion that besides your spouse and your mom, I should come next in line. I refuse to be treated like an outcast from this time forward. I love you guys, and I place you first in everything. I do. I just like to feel that I matter to your lives, too.
Okay. This was accompanied by the wife's request that maybe we could have some suggestions about how to help her husband or encourage him in how he communicates back with his father. And this is a painful situation. Clearly, it's been painful for your dad. But I'm thinking, on the one hand, this dad certainly is clear about what he wants. I think his manner of delivery, the way that he said the things that he said, probably make it harder to hear the core message. And what's your first take on maybe what should happen here, Lori Jo?
Well, I'm going to start with kind of my standard. I think it's great he brought it to light. You may not have realized he felt this, that he was feeling very sad about some things. And the one comment, I refuse to be treated like an outcast from this time forward. I definitely think that shows his sorrow and sadness and frustration with the situation.
Yeah.
I think it's an opportunity to have a conversation and try very hard not to be defensive. To say, Dad, you know, this is how we're seeing how you feel. Can you tell me more about it? Let him talk. Let him be heard. Try not to be defensive. Don't give any defense. Just thank you, Dad, for letting us know. And maybe you can ask him for some suggestions. He's given you some. But say, we're going to try and figure out how to make this a little more comfortable for you and for everybody. So thanks for bringing it up, and we're going to work on it.
Yes.
We'll get back to you with some ideas and talk them over with you later.
I think that's
great. And digest.
Great. Yeah, I think that's really good. And, you know, it would be easy to get so caught up in how it feels to receive. I'm going to say some of this must have felt hostile in the way that it was worded. It's, I think the word is violent communication, and just it seems to be blaming. It's like putting your foot down when you haven't even really asked maybe for this before. And so expectations sound like they were huge, and they've been, you know, these people have been failing him all this time. And when this may be the first they've ever heard of it.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get a lot of that from it, but I do think it's built up. There's some built-up tension here, and that's what we typically do is we let all this tension build up. Then we make these, at least I've done this in the past, it's how I handle anger. Then it comes out as this big, I'm so angry at you, I never want to talk to you again kind of situation.
Yes.
And then there's a lot of fear. So if you can just pull back and say, Dad, we are sorry. It sounds like you've been hurt. It wasn't our intention.
Yeah.
We would like to make right. So we will try and figure out how to make something happen that you feel and know how much we love you.
Yes, and included in the planning. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very possible that there are all kinds of places to be on holidays. Lots, I mean, in-laws, outlaws, you know, both sides of the family, et cetera, et cetera. And I think if this dad could see he was in the rotation, I mean, it may be impossible on the very holiday to make time for everyone, depending on where they live and lots of different variables. And so if he's, you know, every third year we're on the exact day, every other year it's the closest weekend, you know, or something like that. But don't let the tone or your perception of how much anger he has get you off track. Don't focus on that. I want you to focus on what is the way God would want me to honor this person. Definitely the way you, Lori Jo, said to speak about it and to talk about it would be really good. And if there is a defense, if there is some reason that you've been doing this, maybe your own bitterness or anger over your husband's, I should say, over the divorce. Maybe, I don't know the circumstances. Maybe this guy was a jerk and nobody really wants him at all to be around. Mm-hmm. And they're just barely, you know, giving a nod to him by stopping by some other day. Then that probably is important. You make your amends for this, but it's all right to explain why you've been not prioritizing him, for instance. And maybe there's some amends making if he needs to do that. And I don't know, but it is room for a huge dialogue, one issue at a time. This is never easy to receive something like this that basically is saying you've been doing it wrong and I'm disappointed or I'm not going to put up with it anymore. Now, I do like that he said, if you choose not to spend holidays mm-hmm. with me at all, then that's your choice. And sometimes those kind of statements just written down, it's hard to know the tone. But if you can choose to take it as though that's a freedom-giving type of a admonition to you, that it's not just a slap in your face, fine, that's your choice, but just it is your choice. If you don't do that, I'm just saying what I want. And I'm glad he was able to say that. Then you can make a conscious choice about, can I do something to help with this? He's saying what he wants. Just because someone tells you what they want doesn't mean you're compelled that you have to do it or give
it.
And so this is time to think about, here would be what I would be thinking about. I'd have two sides to myself that neither one would be a good idea. At least there, but I would ponder both sides. One, I would want to say, forget it. We've done the best we can and just, you know, be upset. We're going to keep doing it the way we are. Not going to change anything for you. That's my more rebellious, fleshly answer. Or I would say, okay, every year we're going to diligently work really hard to make sure he never feels upset about this again. Now that's the codependent in me speaking out. And I'm glad that I have learned to listen to both those, but then say, God, what do you want in the middle here? What's good for my life, for my blessing of this person, not just because he's your father-in-law or your husband's dad, but because he's a person that God says to love. And that's interesting because loving these people that aren't feeling very lovable at the time is really, we are all mandated to love our enemies, to love our families, to love one another. So usually somebody can fit into one of those categories. There isn't anybody left out that we're exempt from loving. Any thoughts, Lori Jo?
Well, I have a couple here. I don't know if I can get them all in, but I was thinking if you do have, like Carolyn said, there's so many different groups of people, and if they don't want to intermix, you might decide if he's every other, every third, every fourth, every fifth. I mean, it might be that much. And you might say to him, Dad, We will make the effort, or we're going to make the goal of spending every fifth holiday with you, every Christmas. But in between, can we have a special date that we do something that's not going to be on the holidays? Can we do the gingerbread house, or, you know, go for a glass of wine and hors d'oeuvres or something, Dad? Something that's fun that you can devise. And I think this is also, I didn't think about the resentments. Why are they divorced? Was he a jerk? Maybe there's another side to why he behaved the way he did, and he'd like to have that honest adult communication with his son. So this is a perfect opportunity to say, Dad, can you tell me more about your marriage with mom, and tell me more about the divorce so I might understand a little more what happened. It might be that he just needs to confess he was his jerk, or he might tell you some things that make it really understandable as to why they didn't do well.
Yeah, that's very possible.
I think this is an opportunity. You don't get these opportunities that often. I remember my son came home from a holiday once and he looked at me and goes, Mom, what's with your family? And he was like 32 at the time, and I thought, oh, perfect opportunity just to tell him my perception of what I saw in my family.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful to have him share that with me. Mm-hmm. And it really was a very adult communication. And I think we need to remember that you have parents, but you are an adult now. So it would be nice to be able to move not just solely in the child mode, but into the adult companionship. We are together in this mode. And this is an opportunity. Yay for that.
Absolutely.
And I think just telling your dad, what do you want with your dad?
Yeah.
You want an open, honest relationship. You want to be able to express love. Start your conversation with that. Thank you, Dad, for bringing this up. It allows me to express to you, this is what I really seek for our relationship, open, honest relationship. And you have opened the door for it. Thank you.
Yes.
And then start just listening to him.
Yes. And definitely this gentleman perceives that he has been treated like an outcast, and that people make concessions or accommodate everyone else but him. That may or may not be true, but please, when you're responding, don't use things like accusations back, like you're overreacting, or is there a reason you're so mad? I mean, like, don't even try to analyze or psychoanalyze or whatever. This is where he's coming from. If it's just his perception, then facts eventually can be heard by him. But take him where he's at and just exactly like you said, say, yes, we hear you. That would be lonely to be alone on every holiday. And it would feel bad if it appears that everybody's making accommodations for everyone else. And so I think bridging that gap, he probably would be happy about some holidays that he wouldn't have these particular family members with him. But we don't know what the particular solution in your particular family is going to be. But come at it with love. Don't respond in kind. Don't tell him he shouldn't be so mad. All of those things. If you want the outcome that I think is possible, that there could be greater understanding, greater closeness, maybe forgiveness on both sides might be even deeper than it's been before. I just think there's a lot of good that can come from this if you take a deep breath, think it through, and we'd love to hear the outcome. I'd love to have you write back, or even if you have more questions about actually responding. If we haven't fully answered that, you let us know. Now, after a short break, we'll return and talk about how to understand and manage your anger. That's coming up right here at faithplace.org.
You can take Carolyn with you during your day. It's free and easy to download Carolyn's recent shows either on iTunes or at faithplace.org. Pop the shows into your iPod and you're good to go.
This is Lori Jo Smith at Caldwell Banker Bain. There are a lot of realtors in Bellingham. Bellingham is an interesting market. We have a lot of entrepreneurial people, and real estate is very easy to get into. So if you started interviewing a lot of agents, look at some things like how many sales have they had? How many years have they been in the business? Are they full-time and dedicated to it full-time? I'll run into realtors in Fred Meyer's. They're my cashier. Or they're in a restaurant, which is fine. But if that's their primary job and real estate is something they dabble in, even if they've been in the business for 30 years, they don't have the experience. Every deal is something I learn from. Every contract that I close, there's something I take and bring it to the next one. So after so many years, this database of information that's in my head is so valuable. You can find me at LoriJoSmith.com. I'd love to chat with you.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's Meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hempler's.com.
You rescued me, and I believe that God is love, and He is all I need from this day forth for all eternity.
We're back on the program, and we're talking today about how to understand and manage your anger. You know, very few of us adult people have had training in our childhood from our parents about how to handle anger. We get all kinds of admonitions, you know, well, you're not angry, or you shouldn't be, or, you know, even getting in trouble for having the feeling of anger. And a word to parents, never punish an emotion. Mm. Punish or discipline around the behavior that somebody has done, because emotions are just parts of us that are there for good reasons. Anger is there for a really good reason, to warn us of something. And I like something you said in the answer to our last listener about this conflict that's come up is an opportunity. Well, I would like to say that anger is always an opportunity for intimacy and learning. And we can talk more about that, but nothing's more raw than anger and the things that are beneath it, like fear or sorrow or hurt, some threat. And so we're really going to allow this to be, if you listen through this lesson here, let it be an opportunity for that part of you that's been cracked open, that feels very painful, hot, out of control, possibly, a chance for you to have more intimacy with yourself, know yourself better, have more real prayer life about bringing something genuine and authentic to God. And then the people close to you that you share this with, or with whom you are angry, if it's handled constructively, they could know you better as well. It would give everybody a chance to be deeper, closer, and ultimately benefit from handling it right. So what we tend to do with our anger without instruction is three things. We vent it, and I want to say something about that scripturally. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Lori Jo, did you know that all the advice that some of us have seen, pop psychology, maybe on TV or whatever, about beating a pillow or breaking things or whatever, that that's been shown to not help a person manage their anger, but it helps them be really good at acting out in angry ways?
That's so amazing, because that therapy sounds very logical to me, because when I'm angry, that push, that fight or flight, that fight thing.
Yes.
As opposed to my natural, which is to shut down big
time.
And
but
so, that's good to know. That,
right. And
that
even
expression's not good.
Verbally expressing it, like in hostility or yelling or name calling or whatever that might be. And it's tricky, because there is a sense of energy and doing something about the thing when you see a change in your environment. You throw the chair, or you punch the wall, or hit somebody, or, you know, yell at them or something. It's like, well, I really did something about that, because all that energy is meant to go toward doing something with it. But literally, if you cannot vent it with you know, like, no restraint, etc. But if you can learn to acknowledge it and say, I am really angry, and take a few breaths, literally feel it, but you need to step back from doing any impulsive action when you've got that intense feeling, unless it's scrubbing the floor or doing something, but holding that back. Now, the next thing we do with it, vent it, we deny it in one of two ways. We, and these are two confusing words, suppress it or repress it. And denying that we're angry actually makes all this stuff stay inside of us and causes physical problems, can bring on anxiety and depression, definitely affects how you think and maybe some negative physical kinds of responses to what's happening, making worse whatever your physical weak area is in your body. If you're prone to high blood pressure, if you're prone to developing a rash when you're stressed, holding it back and denying it. So if we're not supposed to vent it and we're not supposed to suppress or repress it, what do we do? So let me tell you a couple things about suppressing. Two words will differentiate these. Suppressing it is conscious, where we are willingly making an effort to put restraint on it. And I'm just saying that that's a problem only if you don't include a plan for what you're going to do. So just suppressing it and not doing anything isn't adequate. Suppressing it just means it's going to wait until you figure out what to do. And if you wait forever, it'll start popping out in one way or another, behavior, thoughts, physically, emotionally, etc. But repressing it is subconscious. This means you're unaware that you've got this anger without willing it to stop. You just probably have a freeze kind of reaction. You know, we have fight, flight, freeze. And you probably have shut it down, but that does not mean that it's gone. People who repress it sometimes are shocked by angry outbursts where they will have, even they regard it as out of control. They won't know why that happened. I was dealing with a very sweet young man who never had had permission to be angry around his parents. And he said, I sometimes have meltdowns. And I said, well, describe what a meltdown is. He said, well, I'll just do something out of control. And he hadn't linked it to anything. And he talked to me then about the latest meltdown that he had, in which he had broken his phone. It was in the day of the, you know, flip over phones. He'd broken his phone in half, thrown it across a parking lot, ran to get part of it, slipped, fell, and sobbed in the parking lot of a store. Now, that was a meltdown. He had no insight at all about what it might be about. I said, can you tell me what happened just before the meltdown? And he described a phone call he was having, a conversation he was having with his mom, where she had corrected probably 6 or 7 choices that he had made that he was mentioning to her. And because he had been so thoroughly trained that you never get angry, he didn't know he was angry. It also wasn't okay in his family to correct mother or to ask mother to, you know, could we stop with the scolding and et cetera. And so he actually repressed his anger and it would just come out at such times. Now, a lot of times we don't know. I usually know when I'm angry. I just don't know when I'm afraid. So we've got venting things, denying it by suppression or repression. Or the third, if you learned this growing up, praise God, you had wonderful, instructive parents, but manage it. In other words, use this anger to solve a problem. You're angry because there is some problem in your life, how someone's treating you, whatever. Also, you might be able to right a wrong. If you are angry about injustice, unfairness, unrighteousness, there may be something that the energy of anger can do to point you in a direction of making progress toward righting that wrong. Also, it can help motivate you if you're angry at yourself, for instance, and very often this anger goes toward ourselves. You're angry at you, it might be energy to help motivate some positive change in your life. If you really are upset that, again, you blew it and you blew off your friends and they were waiting for a call and, you know, you disappointed them again, it's okay if your anger goes into problem solving about yourself, not the kind of beating yourself up that we sometimes do, calling ourselves stupid, you know, you'll never learn, etc. So any thoughts about those ways of expressing anger, venting it, denying it, or managing it? Lori Jo, have you learned how to get out of the venting and denying at all?
If I have, I'm not aware of it.
Well, I think you talk to people, though.
Yeah, I do. And I guess because there's such a some old messages in me that anger only is expressed in venting and raging or suppressing, that when I do manage anger well, I don't acknowledge it as anger because it doesn't have that charge.
Okay.
So that's where I get messed up, because when I thought about anger, I thought there's got to be a different way to express anger. Yeah. And you're right, I do get anger out. But because it's not a raging,
mm-hmm.
because the times that I do it healthy don't feel like anger, because I only put anger in having
out-of-control extremes. Uh-huh.
You're either shut down and have no reaction because you're suppressing me.
Right.
I'm suppressing. Or I'm raging.
Yes. Yes.
And so when I manage it in a healthy manner, I don't call it anger.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Maybe if we caught some of these things and knew ourselves well enough, catch them before they escalate, then we would not have very many of those really hot, intense things happening. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And it's really important, too, if after going through wonderful steps about managing it, if you see a pattern, things that that have bothered you for a long time, you may be overreacting at first. It may be that some of these things are fueled by some unresolved grief or loss or unresolved relationship conflicts in the past or some injustice that happened, some trauma that happened from some time ago, even up, you know, back to childhood. But there are so many reasons, and we'll talk about this more when we come back, reasons that make us vulnerable to feeling and acting in an angry manner. And we'll look at what some of those things are so you can see it coming. You don't have to be surprised by an outburst. And we'll have that when we come back on the other side of the break here at faithplace.org.
She's a licensed therapist specializing in recovery from past hurts who refuses to waste the pain of challenging experiences. The Carolyn Merriman Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
Wouldn't it be great to arrive home at the end of a long day and see a nice manicured yard?
If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list.
Get a free quote for whatever level of service you'd like. Mowing, edging, pruning, shrub care, weed control, or even general property cleanup.
With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year.
Get a free quote for whatever level of service you'd like.
CanesLawnAndGarden.com. That's Canes, spelled C-A-I-N-S, LawnAndGarden.com.
Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
It's really easy to become hardened to the sin that we're in, and we'll deceive ourselves, and we'll tell ourselves, well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, we'll start out with that. It's not that bad. And when we get comfortable with that thought, then we move on to, you know, maybe it's just not bad at all. And then when we've, you know, got that cemented in our head that maybe it's not bad at all, then we start thinking, well, maybe this is good. You know, it's kind of, you know, the frog in the pot of water, you know.
Band of Brothers Radio, podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
It's okay. This is a safe place.
We're back with more on today's topic, how to understand and manage your anger. You know, it's interesting what the Bible has to say, because God has made us in His image, and one aspect of that is our emotional life. And God has wrath, and He writes injustice, etc. But look what He says about hanging out with somebody who's angry. In Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. So wrath is really something reserved for God against the enemy, and not for us to be putting ourselves in close relationship with somebody who is given to anger, nor a wrathful man. And those of us, women or men, who are recognizing we have a lot of anger going on with us, a lot of that stuff, God says it's not good for people to be around you even. This is serious. This hurts people. It hurts love. It hurts relationships. And there's another version, and maybe it's Proverbs 22:22. It's right in there where it also says, don't be with these people, basically, lest you learn their ways. And apparently, it's a bit contagious. If you see somebody who you would describe as someone given to anger or wrathful, that becomes an option for you then. And think about your children, what they're learning, or if your best friend or a close friend is that type of a person, or even your leader, your church leader. I see a lot of times some preaching really seems to be coming from the place of wrath rather than some other place. And the whole theme is God's anger rather than God's grace and mercy. And I think it's just worth looking at that scripture. And then this always makes me think from Ephesians 4:26 and 27 that our bodies and our relationships and even our souls are not meant to carry that level of intensity, that anger, for more than 24 hours. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So if you haven't figured out a way to manage the anger within a day, let's say 24 hours, it's going to make you weaker. It's going to make you vulnerable to the things the enemy would like to do with your anger, to divide you from love, to hurt other people, to in many ways just be destructive. So what about constructively managing it? I would say calm your body first. When you are noticing yourself revving up, and that's probably should be the first, notice your own signals. What does your body feel like? What do you do when anger is developing? Heart rate might be faster. You might feel hot. You might feel cold. You might notice shallow breathing. Are you dizzy? Does your face get red? Try to notice those things. Muscle tension, is that what's happening? And so anything you can do to buy a little time, you know, I don't know what it's called, the adage of, you know, counting to 10 when you're angry, there is real benefit in that. But it might be count to 100 or do something that gives you a break. You've had a tremendous adrenaline rush when you're angry. And it takes 20 minutes, if you don't re-up that adrenaline rush, 20 minutes for that adrenaline to be out of your system. And so in 20 minutes, if you aren't escalating the problem or the anger, you will be able probably to think more clearly, to calm down, to not be so impulsive in what you want to do or say in the situation. So take a deep breath, and I would say, take that breath through your nose, because when you do that, you're cooling your brain. Literally, your brain's probably heating up from the intensity. So take a deep breath, let it out slowly. And there's any number of things that you can do. It's okay to say, I need a time out if you're with somebody. Sometimes we get angry and we're all by ourselves. You don't have to announce that to anyone. But take this time out and say, I'm going to have to talk about this. Maybe say half an hour, 20 minutes. But sip water, wipe your face, your neck with a cool wash rag. Whatever might help, like some calming music, go for a walk would also help. If you're able to take a warm bath or shower, just calming down so you can think and behave from a clear mind. You can have actual control over your actions. This can spare a lot of amends making and a lot of destruction that could come out of that. But in a moment, we'll talk about what to think about then when your thinking is clear. But what do you think of that, first of all, Lori Jo, when you've been, let's say, raging or feeling like doing that, what has been helpful for you?
Well, I'm very mood driven, so I have some big mood swings, and I think that's part of the reason that I'm just not comfortable with anger, because there is a lot of emotion behind it.
Yeah.
But I am working on currently, and have been working on, just resting in being angry, but let it rest for at least a day so that I can kind of simmer down and think. Simmer down. I love that word too. Simmer down instead of boiling point, and just think about what it is. And I do get angry, and usually within 24 hours, I can kind of, it softens, and then I can look at it. But I often let it go. So I want to learn how to move beyond being raging in my heart to calm down, to actually take it in action into those events.
And what you've already done is one of the keys in dealing with this is acknowledging your anger. Mm-hmm. Any form of denying it or softening it, you know, or excusing it probably isn't looking at what it is. If you can accept, like you have done, I get angry. That's the thing. You know, women are often traditionally said it's not ladylike, it's unfeminine. And think about what we think of angry women. It is a lot more disrespectful thoughts toward an angry woman than an angry man. We might fear an angry man, but a lot of times we've been told women shouldn't be angry, so we call it something else. We do deny that we are angry. But when you get in a calmer state, asking yourself, what am I feeling? And we might say, well, anger. But if you can give it a name, like I'm feeling angry at being rejected, angry at being left out, I'm angry at something. And then what is the good reason you feel that way? Well, somebody just unjustly took something that was mine, or someone had way too high expectations of me and then told me I'm a failure and wasn't fair, you know, whatever it might be. But thinking about what good reason do I have for being angry? And also, what does this situation remind you of? Were there a series of these kinds of things, or an impactful event in childhood, in earlier relationship? Is it fueled by something in the past? And accept that it's there for energy to solve a problem. Now, what would that be? Might be, let's say your anger has something to do with someone judging you. They had way different expectations, let's say, than you knew about, and they're upset with you and judging you. A couple of things you could do is clear that up communication-wise with that person, and it might be good to know the expectations ahead of time. Or it might be that you really put a lot of stock and a lot of power in what that individual thinks of you, when really they don't define your worth. They don't define your abilities and lovableness or whatever. And so it might put you on the route to getting much more of your definition from the Lord, from Scripture, from your own heart, from people who feel safe, etc. And another thing I'll help you to recognize, if you tend to get angry around certain people, maybe not at them, but you'll express your anger maybe more in a more hostile way, it's possible you feel safe with those people. If we have unresolved anger, the ones who get it or feel the brunt of it are people that we feel emotionally safe with. Now, that's sort of a backwards compliment for them, but try to rein it in for their sake until you can talk about it, not vent it. That's the thing. Talking about your anger is healing, problem solving, and constructive, but venting about it usually scares people and causes some harm, even if that's not your intention. Any final thoughts about any of this stuff, Lori Jo?
I wish I had more thoughts, Carolyn. I feel so unhealed in this area, but I also see that God's working in it, and that,
that
pleases
too.
Me.
Yes.
You know, and he's so good.
Yeah. And if people are even just giving themselves permission right now to do what you did, to acknowledge the anger, yeah. then you're getting somewhere. That automatically makes it a healthier response than denying it, running away from it, pretending that it's not there. Now, when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to answer another email question. This listener wants to know what to do if you suspect a loved one may have gone off their meds and they have a mental illness. What do you do? We'll talk about that right here at faithplace.org.
Need some good material to help you with a struggle in your life? Carolyn is a licensed therapist with many helpful booklets available for you at faithplace.org. Just click on her picture on the front page.
A little disappointed with your current internet provider? Perhaps it's time to check out StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is the Pacific Northwest's largest high-speed wireless internet provider, serving residential, business, and government entities in several Northwest states. With StarTouch, there are no latency issues, and there's no limit to the number of users. Find out more about how StarTouch can benefit you and get a free quote at StarTouch.com. StarTouch, serving the Northwest since 1998.
FaithPlace.org, Biblical Advice Talk Radio.
I love the wisdom that you guys give us.
The Holy Spirit, it works that way. It always seems relevant to what I'm going through. And boom, I decide to turn it on, and it's just what I needed to hear.
It's amazing to know you have this biblical instruction to help us. So it's imperative that you grow. You grow in the Lord.
Gets me uplifted again through God's Word and helps me get back on track.
I'm getting fed by your ministry.
It keeps me informed, keeps my feet grounded.
I'm learning a lot.
Please consider making a tax-deductible donation to help us continue providing faithplace.org.
Make a tax-deductible donation by clicking on the purple Donate button at faithplace.org.
Cause I know this is not anything like you thought the story of your life was gonna be. And it feels like the end has started closing in on you, but it's just not true.
We're back on the program with that email question from a listener. What does she say?
Well, this woman writes in, a family member is bipolar. And we believe he may have taken himself off his mood stabilizing medication. He's been getting angry at all of us. How can we set boundaries with him while not hurting him?
Okay, this is a great question. And just for listeners who are unfamiliar with bipolar disorder, this is a mood disorder that used to be called a manic depression, where there would be mood swings into deep, deep depression, and then a swing back into what is called mania or hypomania, if it isn't complete mania. And that's where the formerly super depressed person will swing up into being very talkative, positive, sometimes hallucinating, very unrealistic ideas about their abilities, you know, grandiose thoughts, etc., and might engage in a lot of risky behaviors that have potential for pretty dire consequences, spending sprees, addictions, sexual indiscretions, lots of things that are out of control. And so it is a mental illness, definitely, that can be controlled with medication. And I want to say a word about this. A lot of people go off their medications because they say it makes me feel weird. I'm not myself on that medication. You know, just know that if you are one of those people, that you probably don't have the right dosage or the right medication. Work closely with your doctor, preferably someone with expertise in these kinds of medications and conditions, because sometimes people just accept the first thing that's offered them as far as medication for their condition. And keep bugging your doctor. Bug them regularly. I don't feel like myself. It makes me want to go off the meds, and I've heard that's not a good idea. And here's the thing with bipolar. If you control that first or second or third episode of mania and depression, that swing, if you can control it early, future episodes may not happen or will be less severe and will be shorter in length. And if you let it go and you have many, many, many of these episodes, it is a progressive disease. It will be harder to control. Episodes will not necessarily respond to medication. That's why it is dangerous to go off the meds and get out of that more stable condition. But keep tweaking it with your doctor if you are a person that is taking medication for that. And so, but here's the thing. You've got a loved one that you believe has taken him off his mood stabilizing meds. I would not necessarily think it'd be effective to say, you're acting like you're off your meds. But I would say to that person, depending on how close you are to them, what you notice behavior-wise. Mm-hmm. And I've found, and this might be accommodating too much, but I have found in working with and knowing people with bipolar disorder that if you use the clinical terms like you're acting very manic or mm-hmm. acting depressed, they might automatically shut you out and say, you mean I can't have an opinion about something? I can't be angry without you thinking it's mental illness, you know? And you're just saying that because I'm bipolar rather than really looking at it. So if you can use other words, like I've been noticing that you really interrupt a lot when we're talking, that your mind seems to be having more things to say than your mouth can keep up with, just things that would be not clinical talk. And it's more likely for them to hear that. Another thing I want to be sure to mention is while the doctor of this person, psychiatrist or physician, whoever it is, a psychologist, that their doctor can receive communications from you, whether or not they can, if there's any release form signed for them to tell you about your loved one. There may not be any release form signed, but if you can document behaviors, not opinions, and say this list of, you know, 20 things the family has agreed we've noticed over the last few months are escalating, and we think that he has gone off of its medication, we thought you should know about that. Because that person can call that person, you know, and try to make an appointment with the loved one, etc. But any thoughts about that and what might work or even be problems, Lori Jo?
Boy, I hate to touch this because bipolar is not something I understand real well, but I was thinking the same thing. I would want to say, not we, but I personally, one-on-one, notice that you seem upset or you seem angry at the time that they're angry. Can you tell me more about this? And maybe then you might be able to move into, it seems like that happens a little bit more often that you're not very happy.
Yeah.
Is something going on that I'm not aware of? And then I guess it seems, I mean, would it be okay to say I'm concerned? You know, in the past, it seemed like the medications kind of settled those things down.
Yeah.
And it seems like something's different.
You can even say it seems like,
yes. Open-ended.
You can even say it seems like the medications aren't having the same effect.
Right.
Because that could be it, too. They might not be off of their medication.
Yeah, it might just be that the meds are different. That's what,
yes.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too.
Yeah.
And would it be okay to, at that point, then say, I'm a little uncomfortable with some of the, it feels like you're angry at me. I feel like you're angry at me, and I'm uncomfortable. I don't know what to do about that because I don't want to not be around you. I love you.
Yes.
But I'm uncomfortable. Can you help me understand what to do?
Yes.
Is that okay to say?
Yeah, I think it would be absolutely fine to say that. And you just have to, you know, go with the relationship you have with this person. Ideally, somebody taking meds for bipolar and or schizophrenia or something like that, ideally they would have a designated person that they've chosen to trust in this area. Mm-hmm. You know, tell me when I'm mm-hmm. acting weird mm-hmm. and I give you permission to be the one that asks me, or am I taking my medications? But if this is the first time this has happened, definitely express your love for that person and the dynamics that are happening between you, because there is so much irrational defensiveness about somebody saying, I think you're off your meds. And mm-hmm. it's just not easy to say it in such a way that the person will actually hear you and hear your concern. One feature that is common, not always universal, but common with people with bipolar disorder can be some paranoia. And so they suspect you just want to control them, subdue them, and not really care about them. Now, that's our show for today. Remember, no matter what you've been through, loss, abuse, or tragedy, I would love to help you discover how Jesus transforms heartbreak into healing.